Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And welcome back to the House of Pod. My name is Kaveh Hoda. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Today, we're going to talk about something that is very personal to me, which is trying to find humor in really weird, dark places. To help me do that, I have two special guests. One of them is returning guest, and he's going to serve as my guest co-host, the former editor of my favorite college satirical magazine, the Heuristic Squelch from UC Berkeley. And I should mention, he's also a doctor, a molecular pathologist, Dr. Jason Rosenbaum. Jason, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be back.
It's good to have you, buddy. My our mutual friend who introduced us wants me to refer to you as Rosie, but it doesn't seem right, and it doesn't seem to fit. Do people call you that?
People in college called me Rosie quite a bit, but yeah, I haven't gone by Rosie basically since 1998.
You feel Mark, it fits?
Do I feel that it fits? It's a complicated question.
Is it kind of like when they call a big fat guy tiny? Is there like an irony here?
Well,
like
what's the opposite of Rosie? I mean, I'm curious. Musky. So you think I'm musky,
but in a really sexy way.
Okay. All right.
Is that possible?
Sure. I mean, you know, we've hung out. You've gotten exposed to the musk.
Yeah, it worked on me. So, Jason, you know, there's a lot of horrible, toxic people out there. And as doctors who have any sort of social,
is this an intervention?
This is it's a segue, but similar. As doctors who promote vaccination or maybe, for example, support a woman's right to choose, you're very likely to encounter some of these terrible, terrible people, whether or not it's in real life or IRL, as the kids say, or online. And I want to talk about ways of finding humor in that and maybe ways of addressing it. But I thought it'd be good to have somebody who's actually funny, not like funny for a doctor funny, but like funny, like you're funny, but we're funny for like doctors. So I thought maybe,
okay,
fair to say we're funny, but we're funny for doctors. It has to be qualified.
Well, I'll take the hit. Sure.
Yeah. So to do that, I brought on a guest that I'm very excited to talk to, a comedian, actor, podcast host. You've seen him as Jaden Pierce in Law and Order Special Victims Unit. You've seen him in HBO's Girl's Guide to Depravity. I haven't seen it, but you could see him in that. As well as, I'm sure you, if you're online in any way, you've seen his hilarious satirical interviews he does with people like in the far right, MAGA crowds, anti-vaxxers, and it's gained him ridiculous popularity, which is well deserved, but it's to the point where I have really no idea why he agreed to come on this show. Walter Masterson. Walter, thank you for coming on the show.
Oh my God, thank you so much for having me, man. It's awesome to finally speak to you.
It is. It is really a pleasure. And meet Rosie.
Rosie, how you doing, man?
Rosie. Can we just first start by trying to talk about the videos a little bit? I mean, I really enjoy the videos you make, the content you create. And they kind of run the gambit. They're not all the same thing. You do a really good job editing them, and they come in little bite-sized bits, and they come in longer form as well. How would you describe the videos you make?
It's just similar to The Daily Show and vintage Stephen Colbert and Borat. So all of those things. It's in that vein. It's Borat. It's Stephen Colbert or Colbert Rapport and Daily Show.
Yeah.
These types of interviews. I speak with, you know, extremists, right-wing extremists. They make amazing comedic partners. I mean, it's just, they're all yes and. They just, you know, you walk up and, because, you know, one of the tenets of improv is you have to be working at the top of your intelligence. And it's not, you know, it's not like you have to be intelligent. You have to work at the top of your intelligence. And you have to yes and. And I mean, these people, they do it every time. Every time I interview them, they just deliver the goods in a way that's
It really is beautiful and masterfully done. I'm going to try and do something here for our listeners who may not have heard it. Now, I'm not the most technologically savvy, so if I screw this up, I will edit it out. But what I want to do here real quick is I want to play one short clip from one of your videos in which you go to the Oxford PA school board where they had banned a book called The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Yeah.
And as you do a lot of times, you go in a character essentially. And
yes,
the character you're in is kind of dressed as you would expect a MAGA guy to dress. He has like a Trump hat on. It's got a flag. You're usually wearing some sort of flag attire when you do this sort of thing.
Yeah. So I'm dressed as if I'm going to go hunting. Yeah.
Like, yeah, you're going to leave the school board meeting and go hunting directly.
And go shoot a deer. Yes.
So let me play a short clip from this.
We're here today to discuss which books are indoctrinating and sexualizing our children. There are books in this library that teach kids to deface private property, like Harold and the Purple Crayon. The other day, I caught my son reading a book that is basically pornography. You know where he got it? This school's library. This book is filled with pornography of advocates for the destruction of the nuclear family. Let me read you some passages, and you tell me if this is a book you want your children to read. He shall lie all night between my breasts, his left hand under my head, and his right doth embrace me. Thy young breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. Come, blow upon my garden. Thy stature is like a palm tree, and thy breasts are clusters of grapes. There's another chapter where two daughters get their father drunk so they can have sex with him. First one, then the other. They show both scenes. That sounds like one of those magazines you get at a gas station. Not great children's material. This book is filled with incest, torture porn, socialism, and rape. Parents, you should ask yourselves, do you want to bring this filth around your child? Wake up! Thank you.
Okay. For the people who can't see it, who don't have the video in front of them or haven't seen the video, while you're reading this, you show that these are excerpts from the Bible. I mean, I don't know what part of the Bible, because I never read the Bible, but like they sound very biblical.
Yeah, I start off, I've done this multiple times. I'll go to school board meetings where there's Moms for Liberty, you know, campaigning to get books removed, and I will start off with a book that is sexual and violent and has all of these awful things. And I will read excerpts from the Bible. I have never seen more people more upset that I'm just, and I've, And I'm not like making fun of the Bible. I'm literally just reading it, the passage from the Bible. Like, all right, this is your book that is supposed to, and you know, we're reading this to children. There's songs about it. Like, you know, Noah's Ark is the largest and most thorough genocide in, mm-hmm. you know, human history. I mean, assuming it never happened, but, you know.
Right, right. Yeah.
And this is the largest and most thorough genocide. And it's a children's song? Really? Like, the, why is that a children's song? Right? Like, things like that. Like, okay. And you know, where I'm like, all right, what are we doing here? Like, this is okay? Because people have said it. And it's one thing to say, oh, well, you know, the Bible's pretty racy. It's another thing to just demonstrate this to a crowd of people.
Yeah. You know? How many of them, what percentage do you think recognizes that it's biblical? Or how many of them do you think thinks this is actually like some crazy book that's in the library?
Oh, the response is immediate. The recognition is immediate. They're like, all right, it's like, you're an asshole. Like, you're like, a, and at first it's like, what is he doing? And they know exactly what I'm doing. They're like, all right, like, screw you.
Have you ever felt in any kind of jeopardy?
The funny thing is, I've been to MAGA rallies. I've been to all these crazy places and interviewed people. There are times when I've been at school board meetings that I felt the most in danger. There was one school board meeting where they kicked me out, and security was walking me out, and I said, you know what, can you just walk me to my car? I mean, you're kicking me out. Because I was like, I saw someone, like, there was this dad that looked at me, you know, as if he was drunk and like wanted to start a bar fight. And I was like, wow, this is a school board meeting, dude. Like, and you know, the funny thing is that I don't find out about these school board meetings, you know, just on my own. Usually a parent will see my work, contact me and say, you know what, I would really like you to come to my district school board meeting. There are some awful people here and I want you to make fun of them. And by doing so, bring light to the awfulness that is taking place. So just for context, the one that you just played, it's in Oxford, Pennsylvania. They banned Perks of Being a Wallflower, right?
I never read it, now, by the way, so I don't know what the story is about, but I assume it's not that bad. It's a young adult book.
Yeah, it's a YA book. It's not crazy. Like, it's, and now, you know, a normal conversation to have is, maybe you could say, let's age restrict it. Maybe, you know, the sophomores, the freshmen, the, you know, something like that. We could have, that's a reasonable conversation, right? Mm-hmm. They come in and they make it seem like, you know, the liberals are stuffing Perks of Being a Wallflower, you know, in front of third graders, and along with like pictures of vaginas and stuff like that, being like, look at it, right? And I'm like, this is absurd. We know this is not taking place. Everyone knows that. And so that board was particularly awful because that school board would do interviews, public interviews on radio, on podcast, and call their own teachers groomers.
Wow.
And like, you're a school board. Like, you are the head person and you are insulting your own staff. Because someone got up right after me and talked about how they have trouble retaining staff teachers because they say, we don't pay competitively, we don't pay that well. We need to create a positive environment to attract good staff because we can't offer competitive pay. You know, and on top of that, you're calling them groomers.
Yeah.
Like, the top level people. So it was really, really awful. Like, I'd been to a bunch of these, and you know, I don't know. They, God bless these people for making these school board meetings spicy again, because I mean, school boards, I've been to like so many of them now, they're boring. It's a school board meeting. They're not supposed to be this level of exciting, right? Like,
are they, I know they run in very different circles and these people aren't really like on the same social media like circles that you are, but do they recognize you now? I mean, your videos are
popular. It was funny because there was been times when there was one Central Bucks school district, which was that was the nationwide news that they, because they were so controversial. I went and I spoke at one of their school board meetings. It went viral. I made a YouTube video showing these awful people and their own speeches. Like I publicized their own speeches that were just absurd. And then I went back there 7 months later, not like thinking, just like, oh, I'll speak at the next school board meeting. And of course it didn't occur to me, like, they're going to remember you, dude. Like it was instantaneous. I walked up to like the front of the building. I was waiting to get inside and it was immediately, they're like, oh, the comedian's here again. And it was so fast. I was like, oh, and I was like, what was I expecting? I'm an idiot. What was I expecting them not to recognize me? Like I literally put them on blast. I've made like their videos of them personally.
Yeah.
Very well on multiple platforms. Like I made them so famous. It was ridiculous. So of course they were waiting. They're literally waiting for me. Like, oh, here we go. This jerk off. You know?
So did you go through with it? What did you do?
I did it. I gave the speech and everything. And while they were like heckling me and they were just kind of being like, they're just being like bullies and stuff about, you know, how they, does the moms, I had to just deal with these moms for liberty people. And they were the Moms for Liberty men and women. They were like, it's very bullies, very, a lot of, you know, they project their behavior. They would act like bullies, bully the other parents, and then immediately claim to be the victim, that they're being victimized and all this stuff. And I'm like, I was like, this is a lot.
Well, that's the thing about what you do that I really appreciate is you are trolling people, but you're trolling people that are essentially trolls themselves. And that's what I like about what you do is that these are, you know, sometimes social media content creators are hard to watch because, you know, there's a part of me when I'm watching them, I'm like, all right, this seems a little bit unfair. This guy's much smarter than these dummies and they don't deserve this. But these are people who say and do pretty awful things.
Yeah, no, you're right. There is a part where, like, there sometimes when it doesn't look, the optics don't look that great. Like,
yeah,
I've had to shut down interviews because I'm like, all right, this right. person is not all there. It's not, you know, and they're not like mentally challenged, but it's like they're, you know, on the lower end of the intelligence spectrum. Yeah. And I want to make it very clear: the videos you see of me talking to crazy people, those people have cognitive power.
Yeah.
Normal conversations. I can have normal conversations about things. They're lucid. They're all there. They're right there.
Yeah.
They're not stupid. I don't want to say like they say stuff that is stupid.
Yeah.
But I want to make that very clear. It's because it's very easy to dismiss some of these people and say like, oh, well, those are just, you know, dumb people of our society.
I don't feel that you're doing that. You know, in fact, I feel worried for you. All these videos are me like being like, oh, Jesus Christ, I hope he's okay. I'm worried for you. So like, I don't feel that you're ever necessarily punching down. I feel like you're sort of, I don't know what the right term would be, shadow boxing or something, but you're out there with people that are able to have real communication with you. But that is an interesting thing. Like, when do you like know when to be like, no, this is not right. This guy is just too far gone. Is it just because some of the stuff the smart people are saying, quote unquote, smart people is kind of crazy too. So like, I mean, where do you draw a line with like someone who believes in Pizzagate? Where do you draw the line in that?
Oh, and then it's like, all right, let's just play. Like, you believe in Pizzagate. What else do you believe in? I mean, a lot of my stuff, my favorite things to do is when I don't ask them any questions. I just tell them a story and then they react. Because then what I love about that is it's not a gotcha. It wasn't because it's not a question.
Yeah.
Like I had this thing where I go and I say, I talk about how my daughter is, she does child beauty pageants, and it's just terrible. The woke left has ruined child beauty pageants. So the other day during the competition, the bathing suit competition, this other girl came in wearing a rainbow bikini, and it was so distracting. My daughter screwed up her dance routine. She almost fell off the pole. Right. And there's video online of me saying this, not just to one person. I montaged it, so it's multiple people. It's not, it's not just, you know, like, oh, I got one person. It's like, because my favorite is when it's like, no, I'm going to demonstrate how they are all like this. And I say that exact phrase, exactly like that, to multiple people, and they just erupt. And they just are out of control, like apoplectic, just boiling over with rage at how, you know, these children are being subjected to this at a child beauty pageant.
And, but not the poll. Like, the poll doesn't register.
The poll does. I even did that. And so, like, that's my thing. I'm like, all right, I want to show how, you know, when you say certain, you know, buzzwords and language, these people lose it. And they have effectively demonstrated that they have not listened to anything else you've said. They're not listening because they're so upset. I just said woke left, children, you know, rainbow bikini.
Yeah. You used all the right trigger words. Yeah.
And they are just boiling over. Yeah.
Have you ever been, what's the most surprised you've been by something that's come up in one of these videos?
Surprised. Sometimes when I speak to someone who is, you know, diametrically opposed to what I, you know, think, and then they say something that's quite agreeable, that I'm like, we don't agree on a lot of things, but you know what, I'm, you know, we agree on this one thing, we agree on this, and I want to put that to the side. I kind of want to demonstrate that, you know, that also has a, you know, viral capability, you know, as well as when, you know, they're being dunces. When someone says something that, you know, it's like, oh yes, I believe in, you know, universal healthcare, I believe in, you know, all people should have homes, you know, regardless of whether they're producing capital and things like that, that I'm like, oh my god,
I'm like
yes. And then I'm like, yeah, like, okay. And like, keep going. Let's go. Because I did a recent video where my friend and I went to this anti-immigrant rally. And we went there to try find common ground. But we didn't, it's not like we tied our hands behind our back. When people said stuff that was awful, we responded in kind. People used racial epithets, all this stuff. And we did not, you know, hold back. However, when people said stuff that was like, that was agreeable, that was like, oh, well, like, we're actually on the same page. That's amazing. Yeah. Well, thank you for that. Okay. And then I'm like, okay, you know, then I'm like, let's take a step back. Let me acknowledge you for that. I don't know why you're here, but
I don't know where that came from, that weird bit of reason, but yeah, acknowledge it.
This one woman, an anti-immigrant rally, she's MAGA, she's saying, you know what, I'm here because, you know, these migrants that come here, they need a temporary work visa, and she's very specific. She knew exactly the things they need to get a temporary work permit. And I was like, and she's like, you know, and Mayor Eric Adams is not giving it to them. And I said, and I was like, I don't know why you're, what? I was like, wow, that, thank you. I was completely blown away.
Yeah.
And she's also protesting with 100 other people that want them sent back on the next plane.
Yeah, right.
And for there to be a wall built. And she, those are her people. And I don't understand that.
Yeah, that's got to, like, be a weird cognitive dissonance where you're just like, you hear them out, you allow them the room to speak, you see where they're coming from, and you see the cognitive dissonance, but you can't get them to understand it. And that's got to be very frustrating.
It's so my thing is like I play around with this now. You know, there's a part of me making fun of people, and then there's a thing I like to do where I describe things without using buzzwords. And then it's my longest running joke is describing socialism and communism without saying socialism and communism, and seeing how far I can go with people that are diametrically opposed to this. Yeah. And I usually get pretty far, and then like it sometimes it goes off the rails, but it usually it's my longest running joke, and I only do it because it always works. The more MAGA someone is, the more, you know, the more they're like, yeah, I want to overthrow the corporate elites.
Yeah.
And then, and then they want to do that. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, you know, I did a whole thing. And at first my friend and I would hold back. And then finally we're like, all right, let's just go full Karl Marx. We were like, they're like, you know, to get rid of the communists, we need to seize the means of production. Like full on seize the, because like we have a thing where when anything we don't like, we just call it communism and see how much they'll agree. Like, in order to stop the communist agenda in the United States, we need to get rid of the big banks. And people are like, yeah, absolutely. And you know, and there's this bizarre, there's this insane conspiracy that the big banks publicized Karl Marx's readings, his literature, and that's what popularized it. Like, no one knew who Karl Marx was until the big banks got involved and disseminated his literature. The big banks, because
makes total sense.
You know, they, I mean, because at first they saw Das Kapital and they're like,
yeah,
we love capital. Like, oh, we love that. Yeah. We're into capital.
That's right. They were like, oh my god, yeah, just everything. They're like, this guy, he's our guy, not Milton Friedman. Marx.
Well, speaking of sweet, sweet capitalism, let's take a very short commercial break. We'll be right back for more discussion. Stay tuned. Did I say stay tuned? Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned,
everyone. Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And we're back. Thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed that sweet, sweet capitalism. Walter, there's something.
Yeah, I have a thing I want to do.
You want to do with us. We're excited.
Yeah, Okay, so you're both doctors.
Supposedly.
Allegedly.
Alleged.
Alleged doctors. Is it supposed or alleged?
I think either works. Alleged is a little bit like...
Yeah, alleged is like you're accusing us of being doctors.
Supposed is we've made pretend we're doctors.
Okay. So, all right, got it. So, all right. So there's this, you know, Elon Musk, thankfully, has brought back and revived this whole COVID conspiracy that COVID was all a scam. And it was just a scam to sell vaccines, you know, by, you know, the vaccine industry, big pharma. You know, at the expense of everything else. Okay. Yeah. So knowing what you know, you work in hospitals, right? You know how much elective surgeries bring into a hospital,
right?
And everything. I want you to just like, let's just go with this conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to bring your logistics, the logistics that you understand you know, as someone who works in a hospital every day, going, oh, of course. And to do this, we're going to have to, of course, you know, shut down our elective surgery wing and forfeit billions of dollars, like stuff like that, right? Like,
yeah.
I need you on board to just, you know, fit this into the narrative.
Well, that's interesting. So Jason here is a pathologist, and the pathology department works with the surgery department. They get specimens and that sort of thing. So Jason, let me give you first crack at this.
It was all planned. It's a plandemic, and they did it.
Yeah.
They shut down all the hospitals. They shut down, you know, all right. the world.
And no one's recording, Jason. Don't worry. This is not going to go out on air. So you can
okay,
tell the
good.
Truth. Tell them
Thank
the
God.
Truth. Tell
because, truth. I mean, it might not make sense to most people, but you know, when you want to make money, what you want to think about are ways to stop doing the things that make you money. Right.
Absolutely. And, right.
And moreover, what you want to do is try to charge people for, you want to produce things that historically have never made money. Instead, you want to bet on things like vaccines that prevent serious disease and don't cost very much,
right?
And are, you know, considered really, really cost-effective interventions. You want to bet on those, and you want to shut down, you know, breast implants and
elective surgeries, cosmetic stuff. Stuff that may not even be emergent. That's the stuff you want to get out. That's the stuff you want to get out. If you want to make money, that is, you want to make not.
Well,
money,
no. Well, I mean, well, money. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I have read that vaccines. That's where you guys make all your money, in the hospitals, right? Am I wrong?
You point to me a hospital that isn't built on vaccines, and I.
But I swear, you're telling me it's not elective surgeries like breast implants, breast augmentation, and stuff like that. You're telling me the
So you know, the American healthcare system operates on what's called for the most part, it operates on what's called a fee for service model, right? And so sell services, and so the idea that we would make money by shutting everything down and promoting vaccines which prevent the downstream use of medical services, it's genius. It's spot on.
Crazy like a fox, Walter. Crazy like a fox. You know, they expect to make money by making money, but the real way to making money is by not making money. That's what we've learned. But we learned that in medical school. You don't learn that outside of medicine. You learn that's a medical school thing. I don't expect you to understand. It's complicated. You know what I mean?
One of the ways you know that this is a winning business model is that they do it about once a century.
Yeah. Yeah.
So does that answer the question? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we tried to get too into like, the weeds, you know, like with medical jargon here.
I feel like we cracked that conspiracy wide open.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
we should also mention our George Soros checks that we get. But that might be a different discussion. I don't know.
No, you're confused. We're not supposed to mention
this. We're not supposed to mention that. I'm going to edit that out. Don't worry. That's not going to make it to air. None of this is going to make it to air, obviously.
I have a funny Soros story. So I made one of those large publishers clearinghouse style checks, like the big ones that they give out like at a ceremony.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And it said, you know, from George Soros. And it was just absolute nonsense. And I would bring it to anti-vax rallies and, you know, use it as a joke and stuff like that. I don't have it anymore. And the reason I don't have it anymore is because I left it in the lobby of my building when I was moving. And I've just got to think, because I moved twice during that summer. And each time, and like each the first time I remembered it at the last second, I was like, oh, right. And I had this left.
I have a giant check to bring. I have can't forget the giant check.
Tenants were walking in and out being like, what the hell is this thing next to the doorman?
You got to keep an eye on your bank account, man, because somebody's going to cash that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I know. It's like you have to balance your checkbook.
Negative
right?
$10 million. Okay, let me get back to your videos. Because, again, I want to make this really clear. If people who are listening now don't already sort of pay attention to you, watch your YouTubes, follow your Twitter.
Or go to my podcast.
Go to your podcast. We're gonna plug that.
Yeah.
If they don't already do all of these things, I really want them to. I think they're really
just bad
so
people.
You're bad people if you don't. That's true. This is gonna sound like a silly question. But who are you making these videos for? Are you making them for you? Are you making them just to be entertained? Are you making them to sort of for your own psyche, your own mental health? Are you making them for people who are out there trying to make these arguments? Are you making them to change minds? Who are you making them for?
That you know what? I think about that all the time. I'm like, why am I doing this? Yeah. So, I mean, I'm trying to be funny. I'm trying to show people a different point of view through humor. I feel like, you know, sometimes you're not going to listen to something unless it's in a different medium. And I think the people that wind up becoming the most appreciative of what I do are people that are surrounded by people that are disagreeing with them. And they're surrounded by and drowned out by opposition. They don't feel that they can speak their mind and be emboldened enough to be themselves. Mm-hmm. And you know, I usually get the warmest comments and messages from people like that, and it's very nice and it's good to know. I mean, I live in New York City, you know, I'm in this liberal bubble, but you know, there are people that, you know, are in, you know, they're in this tiny little like blue district surrounded by, you know, all red, you know, they're school board's been completely overhauled and they have to listen to this nonsense, and you know, they hear me do stuff and they go, oh, like I am empowered to be myself and to empower to do this. Yeah.
And did it start out that way for you? Did you start out doing this because you wanted to sort of expose these points of view, or did it evolve from something else? I mean, you mentioned
it evolved from when it started out, I wanted to, you know, like I knew that a lot of these talking points that I would hear were not true and that they were kind of BS, right? When people say things like, oh, I'm fine with immigration, I just want legal immigration. I thought, you know what, you don't want legal, you don't want any immigration, you don't want anyone coming over at all. Period. Or you want the people coming over that make you, that don't make you uncomfortable. So I went to a Trump rally and just flat out said, you know, wearing a MAGA hat, I said, hey, you know, we don't care about immigration. We're fine with it. We just want legal immigration, right? And they go, yeah, of course. We just want, and surprisingly, they were very nice about this thing. Oh, yeah, you know, we were all immigrants once ourselves, and it should be pathways to this. And they're like, okay, great. I go, what do you think about Biden's new program to double the amount of legal immigration and visas? And they immediately shut down. They're like, absolutely not. They're like, you know, it's like, okay, well, yeah, legal immigration, great. Let's raise legal immigration. No. And I was like, great, this is exactly what I thought it was. Thank you.
You said, like, to push a little bit deeper.
Yeah. I
That's something you do that's really good. That's you're something you really do on the spot. It's really like sharp on the spot thinking where you ask that next question. Like, I think a lot of people could go out there and do sort of the funny bits, but what makes it sort of next level and sort of at that Jordan Klepper sort of Daily Show level in my mind is that follow-up question that you learn to ask. That's the really funny stuff, and that's where the good stuff comes in.
Well, I want honesty, because that's the thing. I don't feel like there's honest discourse today. I feel like usually when I'm speaking to someone that's media trained, they're not dumb. They're not going to say the quiet part out loud. They're going to say some very sanitized version, and they're not going to say the thing that I'm like, all right, let's be honest here. So what I want is honesty. I feel like if everyone was just honest, we could have a very honest discourse, right? If you honestly said, listen, you know what? I'm white. I'm afraid of, you know, black people getting too much of my things. And, you know, once they're in the majority, I'm going to be oppressed. We can actually talk about that and we can discuss that. And that's a real I think it's a stupid conversation, but it's a conversation we can have, right?
Yeah, you're getting to the root of the issue.
Yeah.
What's real.
You know, like, yeah. Yes. And that's things like that where I'm like, okay, you know what? And I need people to be honest about what they're feeling. And I feel like if I come in as some liberal leftist, you know, they're going to, you know, tense up. They're going to say, you know, they're say things that they, you know, in defense, they're going to be defensive. They're going to, I don't need this. I want you to be honest. I want you to talk as if you're talking to your friends. I want you to talk as if you're talking to your own people. And I want you to say what you really mean.
Yeah.
And that's why I would wear a MAGA hat, because I thought, you know what?
Yeah.
Let me just, I want
it
you to
be. Relaxes them. Yeah.
I want you to be your authentic self.
Right. Right.
And yeah.
How do you find it balancing serious stuff and funny stuff? Like, in this show, oftentimes we'll do like a whole episode where it's just all serious, very dark, bad stuff. And it's okay for me. I'm like, I'm a doctor. People like come in expecting me to cover some awful stuff, or serious stuff at least. But like, do you find that sometimes you make a video where it's not like necessarily funny, but there's something really important that you want to have out there? And then do you feel like you can do that? Do you feel like it has to be funny, or do you feel like if there was something important enough that wasn't necessarily funny,
I think it's
you could
like
do
a
it.
Medium. It's the medium, because I feel like when, okay, so there was this one Central Bucks County in Pennsylvania that was a huge election. They had a very awful, corrupt school board that was instituting just terrible policies. They made nationwide news because they took down the quote from Holocaust survivor Eli Wiesel, about neutrality. Yeah. It was like they were just terrible, and they had an election coming up, rather than just go on social media and say, hey, this election's coming up, this is what they're doing, I went to the school board, I read the Bible passage, I made a video, you know, where the parents were articulating the problems much better than I could. And I also put in the people that were just awful and showed how they spoke and how awful they sounded. And, you know, that, you know, humor that got people through the door, you know, suddenly that became a national talking point. I mean, suddenly that got national press. George Takei like picked up my video. It got into, you know, like it was something that I could see published throughout media, of because they would talk about my video, and then the context has to inevitably be, oh, this election is happening, this is what's going on right now, this is the awful things that they're doing at this school board, at this school district. So I was just like, oh my god, win.
Yeah.
I was like yes, I did it. These are like,
it's a big impact. Like, I mean, it is actually, the sphere of influence from something like that is probably bigger than most people would give you credit for, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. I think it's like, even certain things that I didn't even totally even times when I totally didn't do something and I just took someone else's work. I took this other guy's work on TikTok. He did a whole comprehensive thing about what's his name? Vivek Ramaswamy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, grifter, yeah, running for president. And grifter, I mean, I'm sure you know how like he made his millions doing this like big pharma grift.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the guy, but like New York Times had like done a story on him and they were kind of soft on how he had grifted.
Yeah.
You know, his own shareholders.
It's always twisted into like, this is how savvy he is. Like forgetting the sketchy amoral aspects of it.
Yeah.
But like, this is how he knows how to work the system.
Yeah. I took that guy's video that he made on TikTok and I shared it to Twitter because this guy did a comprehensive takedown on, you know, from A to B, what he did with, you know, his fake drug and how he like, you know, did the pump and dump with the IPO. I shared it to Twitter. It went viral. And all of a sudden news outlets were covering the story again and covering what a grifter Vivek Ramaswamy was and how he was like an outright grifter. Yeah. And I thought, okay, like, oh, like, thank you. Like, that's refreshing.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
the guy, I mean, and because the information's literally right there.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
right.
Yeah.
And we have to take it seriously. It's a lot of people are kind of like, oh, we'll take him seriously when we have to take him seriously. But all these grifters have to be taken seriously. I think we've learned that. I think 2016 taught us that, like, even the most outlandish grifters, we have to take seriously. Like in the medical
We are in the best age of the grift.
Oh, like, it's a good time.
Because of, I mean, if you want to be a grifter, I mean, you can basically get caught being a grifter. You can get totally busted, dead to rights. And then you can go right back to it and just like nothing happened. Be like, and do it in plain sight.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, it's a beautiful age.
Everyone.
Yeah, yeah. It's a beautiful
age for that. You get busted like the liver king guy.
Yeah. I'm very familiar with him.
I mean, he was totally busted. He was like, I'm not on roids. And then found out, oh, he's on steroids. And then he just went right back to selling his nonsense.
He was doing like a Honda Civics worth of steroids every month. You know, the guy was doing an insane amount of steroids. I did a fun episode with Robert Evans on him on the Liver King. The guy is amazing, but he's just he's small potatoes grift compared to some of these other grifters that are out there. But who knows? A year or two from now, he could transition to something else. I mean, Liver King could be like a governor at some point in the way things are going.
It is a great time. Like people say, like, oh, it's a bad time. You can't say anything anymore. It's a great time if you want to be a racist.
It's a great
Yeah, the whole idea that you can't say things anymore is, first of all, people have been saying that since the beginning of jokes, right? Like it's been constant.
Two cavemen sitting around, can't tell joke about having sex with mammoth anymore.
you can't have sex with mammoths anymore. Oh, I can't talk about that. I love that, and I feel like it's a perfect time to be a racist. You can have a whole platform on it. Like Matt Walsh makes millions of dollars just being transphobic.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's literally all he does. It's just like, I'm going to talk to you about your child's genitals for, 48 months in a row, every day. That is a daily show where he just talks about your kid's genitals. And somehow that doesn't get old. And then when he takes breaks to talk about why he should say the N-word and how slavery wasn't that bad.
Yeah, yeah, that's amazing. It's an amazing time.
I also need to tell you, you're both doctors. You'll love this. I don't know if you know
allegedly.
This. So allegedly. Germ theory.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know that you are aware that germ theory is being contested.
Mm-hmm.
Are you aware?
It's germ theory, Walter, not germ law.
Yeah. When I heard that, I was like, no. And then like my friend showed me the posts and I was like, oh God. I was like, like washing your hands after you take a shit is that's controversial now.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, that, you know, there are like little nuances to that conversation that could be really interesting, but those aren't the ones that are happening. Those aren't the conversations about germ theory.
Two doctors could have like a substantive discussion. Like, well, you know, I do believe, you know, but it's not two doctors. It's two idiots. And I'm like, I don't need
that. I don't wash my hands after taking shit. What am I, a pussy? Oh, yeah. Come on. So let me ask you this. Speaking of this germ theory, what of all of the things you've covered and you've been exposed to, and Jesus, you've been exposed to a lot. By the way, I worry about you also when you're just out there. You're exposed to these people. I'm always like, God, they're going to give them COVID. These people are going to give them COVID. I'm so glad that most of the events you go to are outdoors. But of all the things you've done and you're out there doing, which of these theories, conspiracy theories, is the most outlandish, really shocks you? That people
the best one, the one that might, that just threw me. Okay, so this person said it. I was at a MAGA rally. This person said it, and then I thought that I looked at my friend. This is insane. And then we repeated it to the other people at the rally, and they go, "Oh yeah, you didn't know that?" And we're like, "Wait, what?" So all right, this one, strap in. This is the best one. Okay, Donald Trump, Modi of India,
sure,
Putin and Xi Jinping are all working against the deep state, against the communist agenda. Now
China,
you're like, oh, okay, China, okay. Xi Jinping, the head of the Chinese Communist Party.
Interesting.
Because my immediate follow-up question was, Xi Jinping, the head of the Chinese Communist Party, is working against the communist agenda. And the conspiracy theory goes, well, he's the only one that's not a communist.
He's the one.
Right.
He's the only person in China, in the Chinese Communist Party, who is not a communist. And he is working with Modi, Putin, and Donald Trump to fight against this communist agenda.
Right, because the Chinese government is notoriously lax in monitoring its citizenry and would have no idea that they have a anti-communist at the head of their
But that's the thing, Jason, who watches the Watchmen? He's the one guy that's not being watched.
That was the other one. And so there was this other one that I heard, which was, and I just heard it like 2 weeks ago. I'm in Miami at this rally, and I finally met one of those people that thinks JFK Jr. is still alive.
Mm-hmm. Were you when you met that person, you're like, let's savor this moment.
Yeah. and she just threw me, because like, it wasn't until I posted the video that people in the comments went through her logic for me. Cause in the moment I'm just like trying to process it. It's new. I'm like, and she's explaining the whole, because I didn't know how Hillary Clinton factored into it. So like, I'm just listening to this for the first time, and I had no real follow-up questions for her. I was just like, I'm just going to let you cook. And it wasn't people like, so here's the theory. It was John Kennedy Jr. He was going to run against Hillary Clinton for United States Senator representing New York. And Hillary Clinton wasn't going to stand for that. And so she had him killed. Right. And that's why he's still alive.
That's why he's still alive.
Because she's incompetent,
because she had him killed and he's still alive. And I was like, God. And I was kicking myself. I was like, why didn't I just ask that, you know, like the follow-up question of, oh, she had him killed. Right. And also he's still alive, because this woman went on to talk about how Hillary's killed a lot of people. I go, oh yeah,
this is the fundamental irony of all these conspiracy theories, is it relies on two factors to be simultaneously true. One, there is a deep, well-coordinated, very intelligent and sophisticated system of keeping this conspiracy alive and working in a network to do so. And two, they're massively incompetent fucktards like Biden, you know?
But
they expect those both to be true.
But what's even like what's funny is how fast they can shut down their own conspiracy. Like, so Sound of Freedom, that movie,
yeah, right.
It did well. It was like they're, you know, they loved, you know, they were like, oh my god, a movie for us. That it did well. It did well over the summer.
Jesus, you know, is back. Yeah,
for whatever reason, you know, and the people, the producers involved, the people involved, also had sex trafficking charges against them, but and all these things.
Yeah.
So there was a conspiracy while the movie was coming out that AMC was showing the movie without sound. They were, you know, messing with the times and doing all this stuff.
Yeah, right.
And
saw that.
And it, you know, because, you know, yes, because they don't want the truth to come out. However, it's not true. But AMC was distributing the movie. Now, the producers needed this movie to be distributed. They did not need AMC to go, you know what? This is more trouble than it's worth. Goodbye. I don't need this. Yeah. So the producers, everyone, the director took to social media real fast to shut it all down and be like, nope, nope, nope. AMC is doing no misdeeds. They are totally above board. We love you, AMC.
Yeah,
please
right.
distribute our film. Oh my God.
And when it's serious, when it matters, they're real. When it affects their money. Yes.
When
right,
it affects
right.
their pocketbook. Yeah. And that was just another joke because, like, talk about adrenochrome.
Mm-hmm.
You're Delicious. Familiar with the. Yeah. Adrenochrome. But the funny
thing is, I'm 92.
Yeah, exactly. The funny thing is that adrenochrome is so easy to make. You don't need to rip open a child's adrenal gland to get it. Like, it's not a difficult chemical to make. So I'm like the science of their own conspiracy theory is not sound. And
you can't microchip a vaccine?
Yeah, exactly. It's the other one that I thought that would make a better conspiracy, and it's right there, and it's something that is done, is what's it called? PRP, platelet-rich plasma.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
You know, you take your own, the doctor will, you know, it's dermatology. The dermatologist will withdraw your own blood. They'll take out
hematologist.
It
would be a hematologist or blood doctor, but yeah. Dermatology is skin, but yeah, go on.
Yeah. And then they'll take out the plasma, the platelets, you know, and then put it on your face so that you will, you know, it has healing properties, blah, blah,
yeah.
blah.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can buy platelet-rich plasma from younger people because, you know, they have more, you know, whatever.
Yeah, Peter Thiel stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a real thing that takes place. And it's so ripe for conspiracies because mm-hmm. you could totally just be like, oh, they're taking platelet-rich plasma right. from kids. If that would assume that they actually had any working knowledge of the proper science of it. You could have an amazing conspiracy about that because it'd be hard to disprove because tons of older men and women go to dermatologists and already get this every day.
So I see what you're saying. Okay.
Hematologist.
No, you're right. Hematologist would be the blood doctor, but if it's a dermatologist that's doing it for this, like, whatever non-proven thing where they're affecting the skin to try and affect your skin, it's another beautiful grift. Jason, you're a molecular pathologist creating adrenochrome. How much of it do you have in your house right now currently? And why is it not as good when it doesn't come from a child that's in fear?
Oh gosh, where to start? I mean, so you know, in the same way that cooking lobster isn't, you know, you have to boil them a lot, right? Like, it's not as good if you kill them first. The adrenochrome benefits from, you know, just the terror that you can induce.
Yeah, natural. It's organic.
It is, which is why the left likes it so much.
I know, I gotta just say, I don't know. I mean, is it just me, or does, like, you know, Soros is sending us a check, and you know, every month we get, you know, a baby, you know, to suck the adrenochrome out of. But like lately, I don't know what it's been. If you've had the same problem, like they're sending us like the wrong baby.
No, supply chain issues have been a real problem.
Because
recently.
Because I'm reptilian. So like I need like a, I'm like, all right, like I can't just like, you know,
funny, you don't, you don't look it, but yeah. No, but
I'm a, you know, I'm a communist. Half. So okay. I'm like, I'm reptilian. Gotcha. So yeah. So like, I'm like, no, you, and you know, this is, hasn't been an issue for the past few years. However, only in the last few months, it's been like a problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's been the problem? You haven't been able to get the white babies?
Or yeah, white like, babies, you know, or the same thing.
I mean, you know, I guess we're calling them. Yeah, they're not sending me the white babies anymore.
I mean, I don't know if they're. We don't call them white babies here. We call them American colored babies. That's how we refer to them.
Oh, right, here, right. Know. So yeah, so Soros, if you're listening, just
get on,
sort
get
out
on
your supply chain issues because you're sending the wrong baby to my house.
He is a big fan of the show, Walter.
He's a friend of the show.
Friend of the show. Sorry, that's how podcasters talk. Speaking of how podcasters talk, where can people find your podcast? Tell us everything about it right now, please.
Okay, Apple and Spotify. Wherever you get podcasts, just go to look up We Are Not Journalists. We Are Not Journalists.
We Are Not Journalists.
That is two TikTok comedians going around the country asking people the questions that journalists are too smart to ask.
It's very funny. It is a great show. I highly recommend it. In fact, if you listen to this whole podcast and you didn't listen to theirs, then you're doing it totally wrong. So you should actually go back in time, not listen to this, listen to theirs instead.
Go back in time. Don't worry about Hitler. Like, just
focus on focus on this one thing.
Okay, so
don't kill baby Hitler. Do this one thing.
Yeah, like it's just, I mean, like, come on, like. I think you're the first person to try and kill Hitler. Like, just relax, dude.
Folks,
like, just go
small
back
victories.
In time and just
small
listen
victories.
To this podcast first.
Yeah. So we
two
are...
out of two doctors recommend.
We are not journalists. Okay, man. And also, obviously, your YouTube channel, your Twitter, and I'm assuming Instagram and TikTok as well. I don't really actively
just type
follow
in
those,
Walter
but...
Masterson to the internet.
Fantastic.
And then you know, whatever, you know, just the content the internet like comes back with, just consume it, just with
fuck it right into your face.
Just like content
more. Jason, do you have anything to plug, my man?
You know, I've taken a break from social media. I don't, I mean, you can find my accounts, but they've been quiet. Nothing in particular to plug. Nothing of mine.
Any TV shows you like?
I saw you recently. You posted how much you supported Hamas. So, yeah.
A couple times. That was daring of you. That was pretty daring. We are going to be attending Sketchfest. We're not performing this year. We're just going to go watch it. So if you're at Sketchfest in San Francisco, keep your eye out for Rosie, as we call them here on the show, and myself. If you haven't already, please follow, like, and rate and review us on iTunes. This has been a real pleasure. Thank you guys both so much for coming on. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Woo! Woo! Are you you're a doctor too, right, Walter?
Of course. Well, I speak to a lot of people that that think they know better than doctors, and that they love it too, that do their own research.
This podcast is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Please consult a physician or other qualified healthcare provider for your specific healthcare needs or concerns. The opinions expressed on this podcast do not represent the opinions of our employees. Details in the podcast have been changed so that patient identification is not possible. And I'm alive and I want to stay. For the first time I'm on my way. And I'm ready for the world. I'm ready for the girl. I'm ready to say. And I'm alive and I want to stay. For the first time I'm on my way. And I'm ready for the world. I'm ready to burn this fire within. Let's begin.
even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.